if you'd like to turn in your Bible to Matthew 5, we are still in the Beatitudes. Get your message outline. Matthew 5, 8 is what we'll be looking at. And you know, we live in a day and age where purity has become top issue. I was just looking through as I was preparing this message. You know, there are firms that will come to your home, and it varies. It can be anywhere from $3,000 to $15,000, but they will come to your home, test the air in your house, and will sell you the air purifiers that you need so you can be assured that you have pure air in your home, that you breathe, that you live in every day. Do you know, as a side note, this year Americans will spend $300 million on Halloween costumes for their pets? Did you know that? This year alone in America, people will spend $300 million for costumes, Halloween costumes, for one night for their pets. They will spend over $500 million this year alone on water purifiers. So all those commercials you see where you put it on your tap, or you pour your tap water into a pitcher, put it in the fridge just to make sure that you're drinking pure water. Organic foods, whole foods, you know how that has grown over the years. People want pure food in their diet. But when you think of all that, and you think the dollars generated and spent, the commerce involved in all of that, and what is the one thing that seems to be on the back burner when it comes to purity? Any thoughts there? Well, it might be what Jesus is talking about. Matthew 5:8. Happy or blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happiness, blessedness, when it comes to purity of the heart, is a heart condition. It's something that as a culture, as a society, we certainly don't spend as much attention or investment of our resources towards as we do purity in other areas. And so when it comes to this beatitude, you have to understand, as we've been looking at it, that blessedness or happiness is something that comes from the inside out. And so when you think about purity of the heart, you have to ask yourself, okay, I understand with air, I understand with water, I can understand with food, but what does purity of heart mean? Because Jesus said they will see God. And that means not only you will see God more and more in the reality of your relationship here, but on the other side of life, and when Jesus returns, you will be blessed, happy, with seeing God then. Pure in heart, integrity, means not having mixed motives. That's why I read the passage that I did that our Lord said. And basically what it means is you don't say one thing and then you act the other way. And so God is as interested in why we do things as he is in what we do. He's concerned with our motives. Matthew 6:1. Be careful not to parade your good deeds before others to attract their notice, or you will lose all your reward from your Father in heaven. Is it possible as a believer, just think to your own actions, is it possible as a Christian, a child of God, to perhaps do the right thing? I'm doing good things. Outwardly, people can see I'm doing good things, but I'm doing them with the wrong motives. My heart's not right. Is it possible to be outwardly religious and inwardly a mess? Sure. Jesus is saying happiness or blessedness comes when what is on the inside is the same thing that's on the outside. And so these mixed motives, this dissonance, doesn't exist. And so if you're a person of integrity, Jesus is saying in this beatitude, spends an entire chapter on it, Matthew 6, he says, here's three things I want you to do. Here's your application. If you are happy or blessed, if you're pure in heart, Here are some things you can go home and do to work towards that. Number one, remember that God sees everything. The key phrase in Matthew 6, your Father sees what is done in secret. Does it ever bother you to know that anything you think, say, or do is never hidden from God? There's no secrets from God. Bothers me sometimes. I think it can bother all of us. You ever hear that lie in your ear? Oh, go ahead and do it. Nobody will know. Well, guess what? Somebody will. And it is a lie. He knows everything about us, and a lot of folks can live their lives thinking they're fooling God and they're pulling a fast one over Him, and yet Scripture says nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. So if God already knows everything I'm thinking and saying and doing, then what's the purpose of having this outward external facade if it's not true, if it doesn't match what's going on in my heart inside? How could I have a pure heart and try to fake it when nothing's hidden from God? I may be able to fool others, that's the purpose that Jesus talks about this in Matthew 6, but I can never pull a fast one on God. And the amazing thing is, just like Tom was talking about that bridge, the amazing thing is that God knows everything you and I think, say, and do, and still loves us, still accepts. So remember that. Nothing is hidden from His sight. Look at number two, review my motives. An honest evaluation of why am I doing what I'm doing? Proverbs 24:21. You see it in your outline. God knows and judges your motives. He keeps watch over you. He knows. He rewards you according to what you do. So those key words there, motives and rewards. God says, your reward is not just based on what you do externally, how people see what you're doing, but He in fact says it's why you do it. That's the Matthew 6. What I read as we opened this morning, He uses prayer, giving, and fasting. Now those are three good things you can do. I can pray to God, I can give to God, I can fast in my relationship with God and seeking His face in things. Those are great things to do. But Jesus spends this entire chapter talking about why you do those things. Giving, Matthew 6, 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. He says, when you give, you shouldn't give in order for it to be accredited to your account or for people to appreciate or notice or think well of you, for you to draw attention for your own sake is what He's saying. Then He goes on, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret rewards you. In other words, He's saying don't even talk to yourself about what you give. Don't make a big deal about it. He says, just give from the heart. Your Father will reward you. Then two, praying, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you, they've received their reward in full. Have you ever heard anybody pray, to the galleries, to other people? Us pastors were famous for that, You get a pastor up here behind the pulpit, and he gets his preacher voice, and he says, God, and the prayers go on and on, and we're even guilty, oh, God, and please help us remember that the meeting this week is at Bill's house at 7 o'clock, and we do announcements and prayers, and we think, oh, that's so flowery and so beautiful. I could never pray like that. And what Jesus is saying is that's not what it's all about. He's saying, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, we do not aim to please others, but to please God who knows us through and through. So what Jesus is saying is, in your prayer, who do you want to please, other people or God? Who do you want to please the most? In other words, that's what he's getting at with the condition of the heart, the purity of heart. If you want the praise of other people, the notice of them in your prayers, that's what you'll get. You'll get your reward in full, and it won't be any more than that. But if you remember that God sees everything that I do, that I can't fake it, and so what you see is what you get between who I am and who God sees, and that I am myself all the time in front of Him, there's no phoniness, there's no fake happiness, as people just saying, here it is, folks, this is who I am, this is how I pray, it's between me and God, and I'm not here to impress anybody else, I'm transparent. Look at number three. Realign my priorities if I want to be in pure in heart. Exodus 23. You shall have no other gods before me. Now you know this one. This is the first commandment. And what Jehovah God is saying is, I don't want you to have little g gods. In other words, I, God, don't want to play second fiddle to anything in your life that is a rival. So what are those things? Career, recreation, sports, could be a spouse, could be a job, could be anything. Whatever it is, with a little g God, Jehovah is saying, nope, I want to be first place. So if I'm to be pure in heart, I have to realign my priorities. Three tests to do that. You see there. First, look at my activities. Where do I invest my time and my money? If I look at my checkbook and my day timer, the Bible says, don't pile up treasures on earth, but keep your treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, your heart will be there too. Notice that, your heart. Wherever you invest your time, wherever you invest your money, Jesus is saying, that shows where your heart is. So, Jesus asked, what's first in your life? Well, the Lord has first place in my life. I'm in church, it's Sunday, that's what I should say. But if you look at your checkbook and you look at where you spend your time, regardless of what you say externally on the outside, God will know who is first place, the first part of the day, of the first day of the week, the first part of the money. The first part of every week, God is first. Then look at my anxieties, number two. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. What do I worry about the most? Ask yourself that. What is it that causes me anxiety, stress, fretting? You can tell a lot about a person about what they worry about. Matthew 6, top 5, he gives in verse 24, 25, 27, 28, 34. He says, this is what people worry about. Finances, food, fitness, fashion, future. If you're worrying about any of these things, Jesus is saying, wait a second, God is not first in your life. In your heart, He is not first. You have this misplaced priority, and because of that, you need to not only check your activities, what is it that I'm worried about, what is it that's causing me stress, where am I spending my time, where am I spending my money. But he says you also have to check your anxieties. What is it that I'm worrying about, and what does that tell me about if God is first in my life or not? Because worry says, you know what, God, I think I'm in charge of this area, and I'm a little worried about this, so I'll just take control of this. And it's a good way, our Lord says, to check to see if our motives are pure. And then look at number three. Look at my ambitions. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. My ambitions, my goals in life reveal the direction of my heart, reveal where my heart is, the purity level, if you will, in relation to my Lord. So what is the number one goal in my life? What is the number one ambition in my life? What is important to me? What might be a little g God? Matthew 6, 31, 33. Don't worry about these things. This is what pagans are always looking for. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. Instead, set your heart first on his kingdom and his goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. Now that little phrase, always looking for, that's ambition. Don't always be looking for. What's taking priority in my life? What am I worrying about? What am I searching for? What am I after? And the problem with a lot of believers today is we have the exact same ambitions as unbelievers. We bought into the culture, we bought into the system, and as a result, we have the same tensions, stresses, headaches, problems. And God says, wait a second, put all that on the back burner. Set your heart first on doing what I, God, want you to do. And all these other things that the culture, society focuses on will be provided, will be brought. Jesus says, happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Pure in heart means first, I'm continually conscious of God's presence in my life. I go through the course of my day, and there's not a time when I don't realize God sees everything I think, say, and do. I'm conscious of his presence as a mark of maturity in my life, in my relationship with God. I'm less conscious of what people think and what they might perceive and what might come about because of my relationship with him, and I'm more conscious of him. Where in my immaturity, I might say, I wonder if they're going to like my prayer. A mature person may focus more on, God, this is what's on my heart, and I know this is what you want for us, and this is what I'm asking for. The desire of every Christian's heart, for the blessed are the pure in heart, is to please God. First priority. Because if you try to please people, that's what Jesus is talking about. If you try to please people by this and that and this external action, as soon as you get one crowd pleased, the other one is not. So he says it's a no-win proposition. But you can please God. You say, God, I want to do what you want me to do all the time. It reduces the stress. It simplifies life. It takes a lot of variables out of it, and the pressure goes down. Look at number two. A pure in heart person is content with God's praise. That's Matthew 6:2. What he's saying is, if you're pure in heart, you want the reward of God, not the reward of men. 6:2, the people who are showing off with their religious deeds, they have their reward. If you do in secret, in other words, you don't worry about what other people think, if you do, just pure in heart to please God, if you do in secret, God will reward you. And it's interesting, in that Matthew 6 passage, there's two Greek words used for reward. And the one that's used for they have received their reward in full means a temporary reward, a short-term reward. It doesn't last very long. It's very temporary. But the reward that Jesus uses for you will receive your reward from God means eternal, long-lasting, very strong. And it's talking about the fact that not only will we be rewarded in this life, but also the life to come. It's a permanent investment. So Jesus is saying, don't sell out your future for the present. Look at number three. A pure in heart person is controlled by God's priorities. He or she has his heart set on what God says is important. So what's the result? I start trying to be an honest, transparent person of integrity with unmixed motives, doing things to please him, not others. And what's the result? First, happiness is a result. Happy, blessed are the pure in heart. Because I'm not faking it, I'm not a phony, there's no internal tension there. But the opposite is also true. Unhappy are the divided hearts. Not blessed are those that are trying to please man. And I've got in your outline there, the opposite of John 12:43, the opposite of pure in heart. That's a great passage. Look at John 12. There's a quote from Isaiah. Isaiah got a glimpse of our Lord, and he wrote prophecy regarding it. And so there's this quote of Isaiah. And then Scripture goes on to say that many of the Jewish brethren and leaders put their belief in Jesus Christ. But because they were worried about the religious leaders, the Pharisees, those that could put them out of the synagogue, they did not profess their belief and did not act on it. That's a terrible passage of Scripture. That someone would actually see the Lord. Isaiah just had a glimpse of Him, never physically, bodily saw Him, and could prophesy about Him, pleasing God because He was pure in heart. And yet here were these men that were in our Lord's very presence, that were taught by Him personally, that saw His miracles, that believed in who He was and what He said that was true, and yet because of their mixed motives, their divided heart, wanting to please men and not God, they made an eternal decision, and it was wrong. So happiness is a result. And two, they will see God. The result of having an unmixed motive, wanting to please God, number one, is not only will you see more and more of God in your life, in your circumstances, will He lead you, will His Spirit take over control of your life, but you will also be assured of seeing Him on the other side of life. But you cannot clean up your heart on your own. How do I get a clean heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus, how do I get that clean heart, that pure heart? Well, I know this great heart specialist, and he's fantastic. Dr. Jesus, he makes house calls. He doesn't cost a thing. He's never lost a patient. He is the best in heart transplants. He will give you a new life. And there's an example of this individual, David, in Psalm 51. He had committed adultery with another man's wife. Then he had that woman's husband killed. He's a murderer and an adulterer. And he stands before this doctor and he says, "Create in me a new, a clean heart." Talking to God, he says, "Create in me a new clean heart, O God." In other words, fill me with clean thoughts, with right desires. And to get that clean heart, somebody like him, he asked God, and that word new in there, he got a brand new heart. And still today, on this side of the cross, something we just observed, God still wants to give us a new heart. He wants you to put your trust in Him, what He did on the cross. And He says it's simple. And you can ask me, and I'll give you a clean heart, I'll give you a new heart, I'll give you a pure heart, I'll give you a new outlook, I'll give you a new life, I'll give you a new start. And He says, what's the condition of your heart? Check it out. Some people have broken hearts. There's things that have happened in their life that have just torn them up for the rest of their lives. Some people have hard hearts. There's so much resentment and bitterness in their life that they just can't get that supple, living heart again. Some people have divided hearts. That's what Jesus was talking about. I want to serve the Lord on Sunday, but I serve the devil the rest of the week. And Dr. Jesus says, wait a second. I'm good at this. All you have to do is stop pretending. All you have to do is not be a phony or a fake. All you have to do is stop trying to please men and please God. And if you do that, not half-heartedly, not with little G's in your life, but you put me, capital G, as first in your life, he said, I will give you a new heart, and you will find that blessedness or happiness comes from the inside out. Let's pray. Father God, each and every one of us stands before you here this morning with that need. And for most of us, we have engaged that heart specialist, Jesus, in our lives. But help us to be more and more aware of your presence on a daily basis. The fact that you are everywhere, that you see everything, that you understand our motives, even regardless of our external actions or what others who look upon us see or think. You know every thought when it crosses our minds, every wrong action or word that we've spoken, and it is so hard to believe that you would still love someone like me in spite of all of that. Yet, like David, you give us this example that regardless of our heart, you can fill it with clean thoughts and right desires and good motives if we realign our priorities with you, Jesus. We want to put you first in our life. We want to set our heart on you instead of all the other things. And if we do that, then you have said all those other things that we need will be brought into our lives as a matter of course, instead of going after them ambitiously as our first objective. Help us to prioritize our lives, Father. Help us to put you at the center of our life. Help us to be more concerned with pleasing you than pleasing others. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this prescription of happiness. And we pray today for those heart transplants, those spiritual rebirths, those new beginnings, that chance to start over, that chance to let go of past failures, faults, fears, and to embrace you as we invite Jesus Christ into our life. Still today, you can create that new, clean, pure heart. And it cost you everything, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.